Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Jesser, and with me is my friend of how many years, Akiva Wienerker?
I just popped on Facebook, and the top is like, happy friendiversary, you and Alexander Chester, 4 years. So, happy four-year friendship.
That's it?
Yeah, I mean,
it probably feels like a lot longer than that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I never get
too
those
long,
two, so they must know that, like, you haunt my dreams. My nightmares.
So anyway, Keeve, we're what are we, like, five or six deep into this, and this week we come to another team. I think this is a team I hate much more than you, right?
I'm always down on them, but I don't root against them. I just know that they stink usually. Recently.
Yeah. Well, my hatred for them is limited to one game.
Sure.
Obviously,
yes.
After the 2009. Yeah. Look, Chris Rock said the other day on Twitter. I think he said, I'm gonna get it wrong, but I think he said if nine guys decide to hang out with a Nazi, now you have 10 Nazis.
Yeah.
And that's sort of my feeling about the Saints. Like, if a team decides to hire Greg Williams, well, now you're a team full of Greg Williamses.
Sure. So now you hate the Rams.
Well, he's on the Browns now, isn't he?
Yeah, the Browns. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams I hate, but the only team where his perfidy really affected me personally was, you know, Bountygate.
So, you only hate Nazis if it affects you personally.
Yeah. First they came for the whoever Greg Williams came for first, and I didn't say anything. But then they came for the Vikings.
That's right.
And when they came, yeah, exactly. Pastor Neil Miller was talking about football. Anyway, so you've already heard him, but on our podcast, I think for the first time, our third or something like that Saints fan we've had on the podcast, Paul Elliott, a big Seinfeld fan and a Saints fan as well. So, Paul, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Let me start with this question before we turn to the Saints. So
sure.
The Falcons-Saints rivalry is something, to be honest, I didn't really know a lot about until we started doing this podcast in the last few years and we heard from Saints and Falcons fans about it. So, you know, most 99% of Americans were rooting passionately for the Falcons by default against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You, how was your perspective on the most recent Super Bowl as a Saints fan?
So I would actually throw myself in that category. I kind of get tired of seeing the same team win over and over again. I do, obviously, when we play the Falcons, I'm obviously rooting for the Saints. But, you know, I think it would have been cool. But I mean, I was kind of either way with it. You know, whoever won, I didn't really care either way. I did kind of get. Not aggravated, but I found it funny how Saints fans all offseason have been like, oh, yeah, the Falcons blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. And it's like, well, at least they were in the Super Bowl. I mean, we were, you know, watching it from the house. So, either way, it didn't affect my day either way who won. But, yeah.
Do you think, but did most Falcons fans sort of take pleasure? Excuse me. Did most Saints fans take pleasure?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Saints Twitter is like full of, you know,
28-3 memes.
Yeah. Yeah. Falcons still blew a 25-point lead. And it's like when the Warriors blew the 3-1 lead against the Cavs in the finals. I mean, it's the same kind of deal. Just on a much smaller scale because it's really only Saints fans.
Saints Twitter, which made me think. You know, we're involved. Paul, you're on, like, Seinfeld Twitter. I don't know what Twitter you're a part of. And we're in, like, the nexus of, like, RHAP Twitter, and I'm on Mets Twitter, and, like, all these things. What do you think? Which NFL team's Twitter would you imagine is, like, the worst Twitter?
Because
some teams don't have. I mean, there's almost no Dolphins Twitter.
Yeah.
And Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, like, Johnny DeSilvera is the only Titans Twitter right now.
Right, I don't think Titans Twitter is too big.
I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't really get involved in hardcore debates about
that's good.
The team.
That's,
I mean,
that's probably a good thing. Don't get debates on Twitter.
Yeah. No. Usually my tweeting is about how awesome Seinfeld is or, you know, something like that. I mean, or out of frustration with the Saints or the Astros right now because that's my baseball team, but
I want to ask you, Paul,
yeah,
okay,
sure.
So I always get there's always a couple Saints fans that get worked up when I say, like, the Saints are basically the Lions. They just don't realize it for the last, like, 5 years, you know? They're a team that could make the playoffs but has no chance to win the Super Bowl, have a very obvious ceiling, but the Saints fans still treat them like the team that won the Super Bowl 8 million years ago at this point. So are you in, you know, Team Akiva or Team Irrational Saints fans?
I'm definitely more towards Team Akiva. When I was actually listening the other day to your guys' quarterback ratings, and you got to Drew Brees, and I forget exactly what you guys said, but basically it was something along the lines of how the Saints have kind of wasted Drew Brees in this era, and I couldn't agree more. I mean,
they got a Super Bowl out of him, though.
Not
a waste.
Akeem and I would murder our children.
I'm sorry.
Don't say that.
I was meaning more like past that. So, yeah. So we did get the Super Bowl again. Sorry, Chester, for that game, but if you look at just the way we kind of built the team, and I think the analogy to the Lions is a perfectly good one. Our offense every year is top of the league. I was actually looking at numbers today where we were 1-2 in almost every offensive statistic last year, but our defense is atrocious. And it just doesn't get better, and every year it's kind of like, well, the defense only just, if they can only get to like middle of the league, and they can't. I definitely, to answer your question, Akiva, I'm definitely more towards you on that rationale.
All right, so let's ask the two obvious questions, I guess, starting with the offense one. Do you do you expect the team to be to again be a top three defense after having traded Cooks?
Top three offense.
Top three offense. Sorry, I'm off.
Yeah. I've kind of, my running joke has been, I think the Saints' biggest contribution to the NFL season this year is going to be the fact that we will be majorly responsible for the Patriots going 16-0 because we gave them Brandon Cooks. I still think with Breeze, we'll probably be a top five offense. I mean, if Michael Thomas has showed last year. I mean, he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Willie Snead showed some signs. So it wouldn't shock me if we, digressed a little bit, but it wouldn't also shock me if we were top three again in the league.
Well, let's talk about this upcoming season for a second. The biggest thing that jumps out to me is that this team is already just being murdered by injuries. Terron Armstead, your left tackle, I think he's out for the year. Nick
yep.
Fairley on a defense that can't afford to lose, impact players, out for the year.
Yep.
Your quarterback is almost 40. Your running yep. back, when he's not abusing children, is 32 and hasn't played a full season in
yep.
a while.
Yep.
So it just, this team, Akiva said he's usually down on the Saints. He had him at 24. I actually had him at 25. Our cumulative ranking is 25.
Wow.
So, they've been 7-9 every year. I think 7-9 would almost be, a decent outcome, because there's a chance
yeah.
that Peterson and Breeze either get hurt or just fall off a cliff, and you're looking at 4-12.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the schedule. I mean, our schedule's not for a team with the defense that we have and the quarterbacks we're playing this year. It's not conducive to success. Obviously we open Monday night against the fighting Minnesota Chesters, and
By the way, Adrian Peterson, if he's typical Adrian Peterson, will have two fumbles in that game, unless the Vikings are just
yeah.
cursed, in which case they'll have 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, and then Mark Ingram will get upset about not getting the ball near the goal line, and yeah, it'll be great. but yeah, and then oh, by the way, 6 days later we have to play Brady at home with Brandon Cooks coming back.
That
home.
Could be an easy 0-2, and then you haven't even played a divisional
yeah.
game yet. The truth is, the NFC,
yeah.
if we were ranking divisional QBs, divisions by their quarterbacks, NFC South, I think, is number one
yep.
with a bullet, right? I mean, Jameis is the worst QB in the
oh,
division.
Oh, absolutely.
And Jameis would be the second best QB in the AFC.
Yeah, and I mean, it's
South.
Yeah, and if you watch Jameis play last night, I mean, I know it's preseason against Jacksonville, but it looks like he might be taking a step up this year as well, so... yeah, I definitely agree with you, Akiva. I think we're a tough division amongst ourselves. The games played in the NFC South are tough games. Once we go outside the division and play other divisions, we'll have to wait and see on that. But yeah, I definitely agree. As far as quarterbacks are concerned, yeah, I don't think any division is better than
give
ours.
Us the state of the Saints defense right now. This the address of the Saints. Saints defense.
Well, as Chester alluded to, I mean, we lost our best player, arguably our best player, Nick Fairley. I mean, Cam Jordan, notwithstanding, as well. But when you lose him, you know, I mean, they've got some guys. You know, we drafted Sheldon Rankins in the first round last year, and he didn't get to play much. Got injured right away, and he showed flashes. But I mean, it really comes down to the secondary. I mean, we have Delvin Bro, who now that we, I guess, fired our doctors because they misdiagnosed him.
Never a good sign in the preseason when you have to fire the doctor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what confused me was, so they came out and they said, okay, we're thinking about trading this guy because we're concerned about his injury history, which is not a great selling point, by the way. It's not like, hey, who wants to come trade for this guy that, you know, can't stay healthy? But besides that, then they say, oh, wait, the doctor screwed up. But my thought was, well, but isn't his – but he still has an injury history. Even though, like, the doctor screwed up, he still has that injury history. But that notwithstanding, you know, we have it's a young defense. I mean, from what I've heard out of camp, Ken Crawley apparently has shown signs of coming on and playing well. PJ Williams is showing signs. We drafted the kid Lattimore out of Ohio State, and he's just now getting to practice. He was hurt for the beginning of camp, and he'll play tomorrow night against San Diego, which will be a test for him. Apparently, he went up against Keenan Allen in practice the other day and held his own. So, but you know, I mean, again, it's preseason. Our safeties might be fairly decent with Vaccaro. We drafted a kid, Marcus Williams, out of Utah. He's supposed to be a ball hawking kind of free safety, and then Von Bell out of Ohio State that we drafted last year. Hopefully can step in. They're talking about playing three safeties, putting three safeties on the field at one time. And, I mean, you know, as far as our linebackers, we signed Manti Te'o. So, I mean, that's all you really have to know about our linebackers. Our big free agent signing was Manti Te'o and Luke Kuechly's backup, A.J. Klein, from Carolina.
The weird thing about Te'o is he came into the league. When he literally, your career.
Right.
He's here. He's like so not a Pro Bowl, not a Pro Bowl, not a Pro
that
Bowl,
is true,
not
yeah.
a Pro Bowl, not a Pro Bowl, not a Pro Bowl, not a Pro Bowl, like very good player, but you know, good enough to you know, like still getting
no,
good
yeah.
enough to still be getting jobs in the league. But it's funny how little we've right. heard from him. You know, I wonder if he just like doesn't talk to
and
me
I say,
or anything.
And I made that comment tongue in cheek. I mean, we cut the linebacker that had the most tackles last year for us was Danelle Ellerby, and we cut him, you know, pretty quick into the offseason this year. So. I mean, like I said, you know, looking at our schedule, looking at the quarterbacks we have to play, I mean, we got to play Matt Ryan twice, Cam Newton twice, Jameis Winston twice, Brady, we got to play Rodgers, we've got to play, you know, the vaunted Christian Hackenberg, I'm sure, at some point. You know, I mean, so
by the way,
that was
yeah,
kind of a joke.
Yeah,
joke
Paul,
sorry.
Christian Hackenberg, breaking news, he played a quarter tonight.
Yeah,
and no first downs.
Yep.
Zero first downs for the hack. It's exactly
yeah,
how I like it.
I
we're going
0-16,
and I'm loving every second
well,
of it.
Well, I hate to tell you this. I'm sorry, Kiva. Week 15, you know, we play you guys at home, and if you
doesn't
know,
matter.
Depending
doesn't
on how things work
out for the year, doesn't matter. You guys are going to win. Ryan Nassib is way too good for us. Chase Daniel, who's the backup? Nassib or Daniel?
Chase Daniel right now.
Okay. They're both way too good for the Jets. Daniel's also like Daniel's been in the league for 9 years and he's never got we have a saying here. I might just be more me than Chester where you know, backup quarterbacks will keep getting gigs until they play, at which point like 95% of the time they'll be exposed for sucking and that'll be it. You know.
Right.
So really, Chase Daniel, the best thing that could ever happen to him is that, like, the Alex Smiths of the world never got hurt, so he's still in the league. The second he plays, he'll either be really good, and then he becomes, like, an older, you know, Garoppolo, where like, a Matt Castle, where it's like, okay, someone's going to trade for him, or he'll be out of the league that next year. So the worst thing that could happen to Chase Daniel financially
right.
is for him to play, ever. Because he will never stop getting jobs, because he has, like, that, like, you know, glint of potential until he plays.
Right, and I think he was on in Philadelphia, and I want to say he had a chance to start and got beat out by
last year
Carson
by
Wentz.
Wentz,
maybe.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. Sort of, surprised everyone.
So I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Carson Wentz is a good young quarterback. He shouldn't be ranked ahead of Dak Prescott. Going back to y'all's conversation on the Seahawks episode, but yeah, I mean, I. I to your point, Akiva, I think if he was good enough to have been a starter, he would have been a starter, kind of. So I don't.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he's kind of
watched tape on him in the preseason and his limited snaps. So yeah, I'm not bullish on Daniel. Yeah. Just pointing out that he still gets gigs.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah, but I mean, he could start. I mean, he could. I think he could start.
Oh,
he could.
Listen, almost every backup could start for our team, and we don't have a guy who's the Jets truly do not have a top 60 quarterback. All right, are you ready for America's favorite game, the roster game?
I am ready.
All right, pick a number between 0 and 100.
Okay, so I'm going with a Seinfeld reference. Let me see if you get it. 85.
Ooh, 85. What is the Seinfeld reference that's 85? Chester.
In the
cafe.
In the cafe episode when Elaine takes the IQ test for George.
Ah, okay. Yeah, she gets an 85.
And he comes.
Has to retake it. Yeah.
Yeah, and because
85.
Yeah. Right. Hello, Professor.
That's pretty good. That's actually a good reference. Okay.
Go ahead.
Jake Lampman, Paul.
He is a backup wide receiver. I don't know. I know he's out of Ferris State, I believe.
He has an offensive lineman's name, though.
Yeah. He does.
Jake Lampman can never be like the next Calvin Johnson. I'm just telling you now, just by his name.
He's not speedy.
No.
He's a possession receiver.
That's a coded word.
No. He's.
I didn't even mean that.
Ferris State? Where's that? North Dakota?
Sure. I have no idea. What's the old draft combine? He's quicker than fast or something, term like that, where it's like, look, he's just slow, but he does what he can. Okay.
So Jake Lampman.
But no, that's about all.
And by the way, it's in Michigan. I knew it was that area of the country. Can I get away with that?
Yeah. I want to say right now on the depth chart, he's maybe fifth or sixth receiver, behind Mike Thomas, Willie Snead.
He's not the new Brandon Cooks. Do you play fantasy football, Paul?
I usually do. Yeah,
he's playing in the
But again, like,
yeah, actually,
that could be a
yeah. That'll actually be the only that'll
oh,
be the
so
only
the
league
answer
I play.
Is no, you don't really play fantasy football. So who is other than is it Willie Snead? Is it Michael Thomas? Who's going to be the most relevant fantasy receiver on your team?
Yeah, I would say I would definitely put my money on Michael Thomas. I mean, coming out of camp again, everything I hear, he's showing well in camp. Now again, he's practicing against the Saints corners. He's played a preseason game against Cleveland's corners. Again, yesterday they had a practice with the LA Chargers. I almost called him San Diego. The LA Chargers. Apparently, he was going up against their top corner, Jason Verrett. And apparently they had a pretty contested session. So, but yeah, I would definitely put my money on him. Willie Snead would be a good option as well. Willie Snead's kind of in that Lance Moore, if you remember Lance Moore from years past, kind of that mold. Just kind of finds a way to be open. I definitely would stay away from Ted Ginn.
Well, yeah, no, nobody's drafting from him, but he probably will be.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to watch out for it. He's probably going to – I'm thinking he's going to make the team is Tommy Lee Lewis. He's a little shorter guy. He's kind of in the Sproles
mode. But he's a receiver.
But he's a receiver.
I like the name Tommy Lee Lewis. I'm a fan already.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so absolutely. Chester, do you have the over-under for the New Orleans Saints this year?
Yeah, the over-under for the Saints is shockingly high to me.
Okay.
It's 8. And again, I think –
you draw it 8-8. I'm going to say this right now. Best bet, but put all your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ask your like father-in-law for a loan. You know, like $50,000, and put that on. You know, call up your relatives.
Whose father-in-law?
I mean, the metaphorical father-in-law. You know, the proverbial father-in-law. Mm-hmm. Call up your cousins, scrounge up some money, and put every dollar you can on the Saints under this year. Pound it until it literally goes down to 7.5 in Vegas. That's how hard you should pound it.
Is that your Schwami?
It's my lock of the year. My lock of the even more than the Jets under, 4.5, which is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
By the way, what I'm going to infer from that is that not only did Akiva marry a woman who's much too smart for him, got a 15-10 on the SATs, much too attractive to him, for him, much too talented around the house, but apparently she's also coming for
trust
more money.
No, trust me. I was not speaking about my own. Trust me.
Akiva, I outkicked my coverage too, so it's okay.
Okay.
Oh, we all aspire to.
Yeah.
By the way, but that's not hard. But yeah, getting back to three of us, we didn't need, you know, didn't take much.
No.
This is what we're doing on a Saturday night. So.
No, but getting back to the over/under, I mean, I think eight. I mean, even if the defense improves, I mean, again, looking at who we're playing, just like after the New England game, we have at Carolina, and then we have the London game with Miami, which, you know, I think those London games are kind of a 50-50 toss-up just because of the travel and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then we come back and we have Lions at home. Then we go to Green Bay, Bears at home, Tampa Bay at home. I mean, and then we got to go to Buffalo after that. And then we play the Redskins too at home. So, I mean, we're facing Cousins. We're facing Tyrod Taylor. We're facing good quarterbacks, Matt Stafford. The only games that I really consider a lock – for an honest to God, like, we will definitely win these games or should win these games are the Jets and the Bears, probably. I mean, the Dolphins, like I said, the Dolphins we should win, but I mean, that with the London trip, you never know how that's going to affect you. So
all right, Paul, it was so fun to we've been
a very sobering Saints guest we have today.
Sobering Saints thing. Yeah, yeah. We've been talking to Paul online for years, so it's fun to finally meet you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think, we talked to a lot of the playoff type teams, so I don't think we're going to be speaking to you about the Saints later in the year, but hopefully we'll have you on.
Yeah, we can dream. I mean, we can hope, but it would be nice.
Do you think the NFL should open up an NIT, cuz I feel like the Saints would have won the last five innings?
Sure, why not? Yeah, I mean, let's put that on the collective bargaining table next time.
Right. I think we need more irrelevant, like, pointless games. The preseason.
Absolutely,
enough.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Just cut
and have like a really stupidly low compensation, like, right, that, you know, doesn't incentivize the players to actually try.
Yeah, you get tickets to the Super Bowl if you win the NIT.
Oh, the tickets. Players get
right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
They have to pay for them, though. All right, I like it. That's a good incentive. They already get two. They could get a third ticket.
Oh, I didn't realize.
And by the way,
that.
Having three tickets to anything is so – well, they have the option to buy two tickets.
I didn't know that.
Obviously, if they all did, it would be a disaster for the – that's why – that the whole Mike Tice thing happened where the Vikings coach was, like, getting all the coaches and players to, like, give him his tickets, and they were reselling them.
Oh, okay.
But I also think, like, one of the problems was, like, they don't want the players to buy the tickets because – there's so few Super Bowl tickets available because the sponsors and the fans of the home team and the two teams in it get such a big pot. Like, they're, you know, if everyone who had access to the tickets got Super Bowl tickets, they would be a problem. Like, they don't have enough seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun prize, a third Super Bowl seat. Because if you ever had three tickets to a sporting event, you know that's the worst number. All right, Chester, we'll be back with another episode, in real time later today, but I guess for everyone else tomorrow. And thanks for coming on so much, Paul, the Saints fan.
Yep.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Joan.
Hold on. Paul, other than your Twitter podcast.
I like when I close out the show and Chester, like, all right, we got more.
You didn't give Paul a chance to,
Oh, Paul, give Paul a plug. You're right.
Yeah, so I have my personal Twitter account. It's at Paul Elliott. It's two L's and two T's, _316. I also run Seinfeld Madness Twitter account. It's at Seinfeld Madness. We did the bracket last year to determine the.
Oh yeah, I get a lot of notifications for Keith.
Yes, 26. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's right.
We're just trying. I just didn't want like three people voting in the poll. So I mean, I had to. And a surprise winner. We had the marine biologist end up winning the.
That's
the whole
fine.
Thing.
I'm very high in the marine biologist. People emailing constantly and say, like, that's the example of, you know, an A++ top storyline, but the B, C, and D stories are maybe less, lesser than an episode like The Hamptons or The Opposite or something.
I definitely think it's a top heavy episode.
But I don't even remember. Is the marine biologist in my top nine? I think it is off the top of my head. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
I came on your podcast for that, if you remember at the time, because I said it was my favorite episode. But now it's not even in my top 10.
Wow.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Well, I've been doing my rankings in real time as your podcast goes along.
Sort of backward. I put a episode in, and then, like, if I want to move an episode, if I feel strong with it, then I have to, all right, this has to be 21 or 33, nowhere in between, because those spots are taken. Chester kind of did it the smart way. All right, next time around, I'll do it that way. All right, Chester, can we actually sign off now?
We can sign off. We'll talk to you tomorrow with another non-playoff team. That's a guarantee.
Bye.
Talk to you later, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
My favorite song.